This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bombastic, audacious, revolutionary, rash, outraged, organised, assertive, activist.
Broad.
On Joy 94.9.
I'm gonna marry the night. I won't give up on my life. I'm a warrior queen, live passionately tonight.
Not waxing the legs or shaving in the pit.
And you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Broad on Joy 94.9. Broad would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands that we broadcast from, the Kulin Nation, and pay respect to all the Kulin elders, women from the past, present, and those women who will be our elders in the future. We'd also like to acknowledge with respect to the traditional owners of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lands that we broadcast to, and pay respect to all elders and women elders from all clans and nations, past, present and future. Welcome to Broad. That was Solange with Q-Tip, Borderline, an ode to self-care. One of my favourite albums for this past year would be A Seat at the Table. And tonight at the table, there's a lot to talk about, and we've got some great guests here on Broad, on Joy. I'd like to welcome Natasha Janelle. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
This time you're live. You're actually alive.
Alive last time, but like live in the studio, yeah.
You were pre-record. But hey, it's good to have real people in the studio. That's great. Mm. We're chatting to you very shortly. We've also got, for the first time, Rain Fuller. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what are we going to talk to you about as well? Ozflix, being a woman of Ozflix, your career, and some shows that you're involved in. You're both doing lots of stuff. And you've probably never met before, have you?
No, but it's exciting.
Yeah, it is. Nice to meet.
Yeah. Nice to meet.
Right. Opportunities everyone. Like this.
And Jane Connery is returning. This time we will be able to do that interview.
That's great. I can't wait.
So Broad Designs, what is this about? And we're chatting to Kimber Thompson tonight.
We are. I'm hoping to be talking on the radio about women in design as often as I can. Mm-hmm. I'm a design educator and researcher and doing a PhD on women in design and trying to give them a voice. And this is a perfect place to do that. So every week I'm going to be talking to someone about the design work they're doing.
So who's Kimber? What does she, just briefly?
She works at a gallery called Black Dot and also has a production company called Sister Productions, and she's involved with the Indigenous community. As a designer, that can often be a difficult thing. There's a lot of sort of intricate things that you have to do properly, and it often hasn't been done properly in the past. The dollar bill, if anyone can remember, that was stopped in 1984, had an Indigenous image on it that was stolen, and they didn't have permission to use it. So it's a tricky area, but Kimber's going to talk to us about that tonight.
Good. Looking forward to that. So that'll be around about 15 minutes to 10, so it's a pretty full hour. Hopefully we'll have time for play a bit of music. We'll see how we go. But first off, I was going to say Uber rank, but that would be politically incorrect right now. Oops,
no.
I said it. Taxi rank. We've got this extraordinary person here. Look, Tash, I know you've been on the show before for Threadbare. That was so last year.
Oh, yeah.
This year.
So 2016.
This year, it's Auto Buyer Queen. What is that about? And it's part of the Midsummer, isn't it?
Yes.
One of the...
It's on at Gasworks. We had our tech and our dress run today, which was very exciting. But Auto Bio Queen is a cabaret style show based on my life, and I'm a bio queen, and it's an auto bio, so you know it's a great turn of phrase. Auto Bio Queen, it's very nice. But it focuses mainly on my journey from it touches a little bit on childhood, and then it goes through my journey from moving to Australia and some of the work that I did earlier and how I have developed the character of Benny Lola and what she means for me in terms of that freedom of being able to express who you are and how you move through the world, and how the more you're able to access that component of creativity, the more you're able to reconnect with yourself. And it can also go back into healing wounds and repairing some things around family relations. And, yeah, pretty much sums it up.
Is it like an alter ego, Benny Lola?
She is a real person. And I always say that Benny Lola is, she's like me, except that, because I've got borderline personality disorder. So... It's a bit of an interesting journey to have, and it just basically just means that you kind of experience everything fully. Like if you feel sadness, you feel it fully. If you feel joy, you feel it fully. Everything is just kind of, it's like being on a constant roller coaster, and you're But when I was in my therapy program last year, because I did dialectical behavior therapy, I was saying that it was kind of like being in the movies where the superheroes are training, because if you're someone who has borderline, or someone who has borderline can also be called complex post-traumatic stress disorder, and a lot of it is around trouble with regulating emotions and being able to cope with a lot of stress, and you can develop a lot of negative coping skills as a way to process things that you're not able to explain or express. And so going to the therapy program, it's kind of like going to boot camp for superhero, because if you can actually harness that power and that capacity and that that beauty that comes with being able to experience life so fully, instead of finding negative coping skills, if you can actually find positive ways to process that and express it, it's really empowering. So Benny Lola is kind of, she's me, but she's all the parts of me where I often feel just that little bit odd in normal life, and Benny Lola can just get away with everything. It's great.
Sounds great. Yeah. How long did it take you to put this together, write this, develop it?
Well, this project has been going on since I was about 18. Wow. So I went to performing arts. I went to about, I think, 13 schools before year 12. And my last school was a performing arts high school in Boston. And I did I did theater and technical theater. And then I got a scholarship to Emerson College in Boston to do film and photography. And while I was there, we watched a film called Tarnation by Jonathan.
Yes.
Is it Jonathan Coate?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
and,
yeah.
And then awesome. It's amazing. And then we had to, and if you haven't heard about it, I think you should look it up. It's called Tarnation. It's a really great film using all found images and materials and telling his own autobiographical story. Mm-hmm. So we studied that film in one of my classes, and we had to make our own autobiographical film about our lives. And I contacted my aunt in Barbados and asked for family photos because I didn't really have any. So she sent me a huge box of photos. So I had, for the first time, I had this opportunity to actually sit down and go through photos of my mother back in the 60s, because my mom passed away when I was 14. So, and it was just all these different parts of my family and my life that I didn't really have access to before. And I was so happy to have that. And what I did is I took that film and I used it as an opportunity to try and mend some wounds in my family, because when my mom passed away, there's always that saying that death can either bring families together, it can tear them apart or push them apart. And in my case, it was a bit of the latter. So I think from about 14 to 18, I had a very strained relationship with my family. But that doesn't mean I've ever stopped loving them. They're the most important people in my life, particularly my brother. He's definitely the most important person in my life. And it's that thing of when there's so much trauma and pain and, you know, things that we don't want to talk about or don't want to go into, how do we actually start to reconnect and firstly reclaim the joy? Because sometimes you have to actually talk about the sad stuff so you can reclaim that joy. Mm. And that joy is the part that actually helps with the healing and helps you move towards being able to be close again. So that film was kind of the first step for me on that journey. And it's on my Vimeo. You know, you can look it up if you like. It's called Hope, H-O-P-E, Hope. And that film, it's still very rough, and I want to go back to it eventually and make it into a, you know, feature-length film. If anybody's listening who has funding, totally just, you know, send me an email. We can get right on that. But so that was the first step of it. And then because I've been doing so much stuff in the performance art, and I love to do small roles in films or TV shows where I just kind of pop in and I'm a bit fun. But in general, I'm not really someone who wants to, you know, I don't want to play the queen of wherever, you know, that's not where I'm, what I'm about. But I really love performing, and I love having opportunities to, because for me, it's a radical act of self-love to get on a stage and to be taking that space. And particularly in Australia, where when I came here, I really noticed how much of a lack of diversity there is in the arts, media, and film. So I make a point of performing because it's really healing for me, but secondly, so that some other little person out there who's going, you know, I feel like this or I feel like that, I look like this, I sound like this, so that they also know that there's going to be a space where they can get up at one point if they want to and tell their story. So with this show in particular, I did the film, I had that sitting there for a while, and then I went away and I did quite a bit of therapy and a bit of work on myself, because, you know, I think everybody needs to take that time to do that. Mm-hmm. And then I was kind of like, well, where do I want to go next with this story? Because this story is going to be continuing for the rest of my life. It's my life story. And I felt like the next thing I wanted to do was to give people a lived experience that they could come on board with and have a visceral experience of a part of my life, even though it's not, you know, I can't take them through every avenue, but just a glimpse into my life. And so I decided to do a stage show, but I immediately decided I did not want to do a one-woman show because this is not just my story. In one sense, it is, in terms of that it's based on my life, but so much of it is across race, gender, ethnicity, religion, regardless of where you're from or what languages you speak as your kind of mother tongue. It's about the human experience. And that was some of the themes that were in Threadbare as well. I'm very interested in the things that connect us. So this story, because it's about so much around loss and belonging and recovering to the point of joy and celebrating life and, you know, the beauty and even the beauty and the painful moments, I brought in people who I found a part of myself in. So people I felt something reflected in about my own journey, or people who I know have had journeys of their own. And yeah, that's where we got to.
Wow. I mean, you've got a whole bunch of amazing performers, a lot of them from a cabaret performance background. Are they playing, without spoiling it too much, do they play a different facet of the character?
Some people do play me directly, and then some people do play facets of me, because there's a lot of the work that I do is through, because of borderline as well, some of my memories are lost, and you have periods of dissociation, so you have to kind of go back and try and retrace what's happened, and some of it's just piecing together your life around stories that you've been told, and not creating memories, but I might not remember, you know, an entire day or an entire week, but I'll remember a glass that was on the table, and I can tell you everything about that glass that was on the table and what I was feeling when I was looking at that glass.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you who was in the room, for example. So a lot of the work that I do around autobiographical experience is actually through dreams. So there's some elements of the story where the characters are portraying a part of the story that's in a dream. Some where they're portraying things that have happened in real life, and some where they are portraying portraying that juxtaposition sometimes that comes with having so many thoughts that jump back and forth so quickly. That's the most I can say without giving away the story.
Yeah. There's a lot going on. I notice you've got Todd Solondz's inspiration as well. He does that a lot, the metaphors of different almost objects as well.
Yeah.
Take on that persona.
I mainly have Todd Solondz in there because of his film Palindrome. Because in that one, it's kind of similar to what, well, not similar, but it's a similar theme in terms of when, to me, it's not always that the person needs to look exactly like me to be portraying me. It's that they need to have the same energy, or they need to have, like that. So that's why I said that the people that I've chosen to be in this show, they're from all different backgrounds. We've got, I think, Pepe Prius is Samoan. Rolly's joining us again. He's of Maori descent.
Cool.
Hanny Helsden is... Sorry, Hanny, I don't remember where your mum's from, but she's of European descent. And we've got Bumper Lovin as well.
Karen from Finance.
Yeah. Last time we had Zeely Rose. Last time we did it in Frankie Valentine and Mojo Juju and Benny Mama Alto. So that was one of the things as well. So even the people who've seen it before, we've redone it for Gaswork, so it'll be a bit different. But all of the people who are in the show are very, very diverse, very different looking. But it's that I've picked them because they have that essence, or they have that part of the...
They get it. They get you. They get you, and they get you.
Yeah.
So they will
sometimes they're like, what are you talking about?
You know, I don't know how performers do it. I really don't know. You guys have got a lot of guts.
And not much sleep, mainly. That's how we do it. Yeah.
So it's first time at Gasworks, too. Mm-hmm. Gasworks Park. Part of Midsummer, first to the fourth, so
yes,
2 days.
4 days.
I mean, 2 days to go.
Oh, 2 days.
And then it's like, four days. That's intense, little pocket of time.
It's going to be very fun.
You know?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So where can people go? I guess they can go to Midsummer page, or you've got Gasworks.
Yes.
But you've got a fabulous website too.
Yes,
people
I do.
Can check out.
I haven't updated it so far yet for this year, but you can look at all the things I've done in the last year.
Done lots of stuff.
NatashaJanelle.com. J-Y-N-E-L. And everyone always thinks it's Jynelle. That's a bit odd. And the other thing I wanted to mention as well is that the show on the 4th of February will be Auslan interpreted.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
And
that's good to see.
Yeah. And usually I like to, if I'm going to have an Auslan interpreter, I like to incorporate them into the movements in the space.
Oh.
But because of the setup of the space this time, the Auslan interpreter will probably be stationary.
Okay. It's a bigger space too. Because I saw Threadbare last year at Fringe. Mm. It was a smaller space.
Yeah.
Very, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like managing spaces.
Yeah. I think it's, for me, it doesn't really matter what the space is. It's more so I'm just mostly excited about the people that are there. And just having the opportunity to, I really love, because there's one part in the show where I get a chance to actually see the audience a bit before the show even ends.
Right.
And so I really like, it just makes me feel really warm when I can see the people who are sitting there. And I just appreciate that people take their time and come out, because there's so many other things you could be doing. You could be baking a pie.
You could bake a pie and bring it along.
You could do that. Like, I recommend
you
do that.
Are you open to people making food and bringing it along? But
yeah.
As long as, you know, it's obviously, it's a dietary thing, maybe.
Oh, no, there's no dietary requirements in the cast.
Okay.
right. I don't think with the crew either. And the crew would also love if you brought snacks. And that will never be, turned away at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this could be a new trend. This could be a thing.
I think this should be a thing.
My foot in it now.
Yep.
Or foot in the pie.
Well, don't put your foot in the pie.
No.
Bring a pie that you haven't put your foot in.
Or any other part. I'm sorry, I've got American pie in my brain. Oops. Oh, now I've really... The whole show's deteriorated.
It's gone downhill. It's gone downhill quick, mate.
Quick, mate.
Yeah.
Look, thank you. It's great to have you on live and in person and to hear about, Autobio Queen. Go and see it, people. Really, really must support... these endeavors in midsummer.
Yes.
Queer it up, have fun. Now I'm going to play this new track. I don't know if you guys may know of this person, Alpha Mama. Anybody know Alpha Mama? Anyway, that's just something that landed in my email today. So they are a local and playing some amazing music, a new single out. This is called Stranger in Asia. Looking at their background and how they, following up and looking for their own family and those sorts of things, which a lot of people go through, particularly in a country like Australia, where we are sometimes searching for who we are. So thanks again for coming in, Jynelle.
Thanks for having me.
That's great. So check that out. Go to the Gasworks site. You can go to Midsummer and look, just put in your search engine there, Autobio Queen. It's the true story of Benny Lola, and it's playing just 4 days, February 1st to the 4th at Gasworks Arts Park. Awesome. This is Broad on Joy 94.9.
God queen of infinite space and sparks of creation, in me were innate. I opened my mouth, I wanted to taste a new world throughout from below my waist. Then one night I went to sleep and woke to someone else's dream, hovering above myself. I promised I'd be back for hell. When I looked down, my feet were bound, blood beside my broken crown. Though I screamed a silent sound, a single tear could not be found.
been bitches, rhetorically pondering if she's got riches, explode out the stitches, so nervous you're twitching, can't scratch where the itches, like digital glitches, so you sold her for gold, so disgusting you're snitching, now she's twisting, and it's hurting us, our burning flesh, the churning mess of yearning breasts, her limbs splayed and quartered, wrist sprayed, deported, like a lamb to the slaughter, you aborted her daughters, conveniently forgot you were naught before her, so you were naught before her, now the cogs turn while your cock burns at the sight of this lost girl, but her riches is knowledge like rock pearls, but you're stupid, you block her, and you knew you can't stop her, she came to remind you, you were God too, it's your song too, song stress and distress, you're sick of the mess, ready to wreck, she's upset, how much worse can it get? Could you forget your home, your nest? You forget to wear your crest, the crown that your celestial origins determined. Breathe in the chi, my consciousness returning. Breathe out, let go of all that doesn't serve me.
I'm Bryony Kidd, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
This is Broad on Joy 94.9. Yes, there is a Broad page. Indeed, people, you can go to the Facebook page and just Broad on Joy 949. I've been a bit tardy with the old social media tonight here on Broad, but it's because we've got some very engaging and wonderful guests and talking about some really important stuff and performance and putting yourself out there, up there, on there, in front of many, many people that will watch and observe and see your work as an artist and a performer is always something that is, you know, blows my mind that people can do that. I don't have the I don't have the words, let alone the guts.
It can kind of take the words away out of your mouth sometimes.
It did, just that. Now, we still want to thank, of course, Natasha Janelle for coming in and talking about her awesome performance. You can catch that at Midsummer. Just put it in the search engine there, or Midsummer at Gasworks, where it's going to be playing from the 1st to the 4th. Now, a lot of stuff has been happening, and I know people always say, Sonia, what do you think about this and that and some of the things that are going on in the world at the moment? So I'll just be very brief before we go to our next special guest, Rain Fuller, who's here. And, of course, Broad always does like to stand up and be counted when it comes to feminism and women's rights and human rights. And one of the notorious things that are happening at the moment is a blatant human rights issue, a crime against human rights, we believe, here at Broad. And that, of course, is the detention, I would say, of people who are of a Muslim background or who have come from Muslim countries on their passport, being detained at airports around the United States at the moment. Some are still being detained, unfortunately, which is really disappointing and upsetting. And, of course, there is a petition by federal judges in the US, thanks to the ACLU, a bunch of attorneys. However, some of airport management have actually disregarded that. So people are still being held, dozens of people at a time. And this is really, really sad. And you know, I just have no words for how disgusted we are personally here on Broad. So we wish that this sort of business does not happen, and it's a human rights issue now. So hopefully we'll see those people being released, and common sense will prevail. Also, Standing Rock, still standing as we stand with them here on Broad as well. Defiant as ever, the water protectors vow to continue the fight against what they call the Black Snake, the Dakota Pipeline. There's been a huge disregard of the protection that Obama managed to put through before he left office. Unfortunately, we look like, because of the change of guard, there's been a few nasty things happening. We'll keep you posted, but definitely we hope to see the end of this kind of fascism that is occurring across the country there, and we stand with Standing Rock. Good news, though, Hidden Figures, one of the films that we've been really looking forward to, has won the Screen Actors Guild Award for Best Film. So it's the top prize, Best Film, and it includes includes the wonderful Taraji P. Henson, the fabulous Janelle Monáe, we like playing her music, and Octavia Spencer, very awesome actress. So it's great to see Hidden Figures about women of colour working in NASA many moons ago, back in the 60s, helping to provide the space race with men on the moon. It should have been women, but hey, we're all a bit biased here on Broad. And thanks to those women, this has been made into a Hollywood film. I'm sure it'll do well, and my pick is for it to be Best Picture Oscar time. But I could be wrong, and I'm sure Daniel from Outtakes will have a different opinion on that. In any case, it is now time to grill her. And I don't mean roasted or toasted, but we've got Rain Fuller coming in. And it's serendipity to have met you very, very recently, in Friday.
It is. Friday night. I remember we had all these grand ideas about doing studio performances and live streams. And we're talking about the Facebook page and doing
doing crazy stuff.
Crazy.
Ozflix, which is kind of going to segue in there. What is Ozflix? And you are involved in that. Rain Fuller.
Yes. So Ozflix, which launched just last week on Australia Day, is the very first streaming platform, so like a VOD, kind of like a Netflix, but it's pay per view for Australian films. So it's dedicated entirely to screening every single Australian film ever. They currently have around 250 films on there, and in all time, there's 2,000, I think, Australian films.
And counting, though.
And counting. You know, and more every day, every week. From the indies, you know, up to the big blockbusters. And and apparently, well, not apparently, we did release the very first film ever produced, the narrative feature film, The Story of the Kelly Gang, in 1906.
Wow.
So,
I don't remember who was in that. Jack Thompson?
I don't. He's maybe just the little sperm that was... His grandfather.
I was going to say sperm caught in the eye, but that could be nasty. We don't often talk about things like that on a woman's show.
No. Well, you know, there's a time for everything.
So, yeah, it's very exciting, Ozflix. You know, it's been a long time coming.
It has.
Of hard work.
Yeah.
Finally, the demand is there for sure.
Yeah.
What's your business, you know? What are you doing there?
Well, I'll be presenting a show, which we can't actually... We haven't announced the show that the main show I'll be doing yet. So I can't talk about that yet. But I have been also presenting on Bites with Glenn Dunk. So those episodes will go to air soon. So Bites is like where we're basically reintroducing some Australian classics for a newer generation, because there's a lot of people under 35, which isn't that young, who don't know a lot of the big films from like the, you know.
Yeah, what's a film that stands out for you, like an Aussie classic?
Welcome to Whoop Whoop.
Wow, okay.
Have you seen that?
I thought you were just saying.
That's actually a film.
Oh, is it?
With Susie Porter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
She's awesome, Susie.
Yeah, directed by Stephen Elliott, who did Priscilla. Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah, and, you know, there's some great pull-out lines. I think they all involve swearing, though, so I can't really. Some great quotable quotes, I could say. But yeah, no, it's a wacky journey of an American guy who goes into the Australian outback in search of his lost cockatoo and comes across Susie Porter with a cherry ripe hanging out of her mouth. And she bails him up and steals him down into this crater where he's kind of stuck and has to procreate with her. And there's a giant red kangaroo and all sorts of.
Is it a boxing kangaroo?
And a crazy father played by Bill Hunter.
Bill.
Yeah. And I think they're making dog food out of kangaroo meat. And, you know, that's their livelihood.
That's very Australian. Yeah,
it's very Australian. You know, weird and wacky and wonderful.
But, I mean, I'll throw this question at you because we are a woman's show, you know, feminist show and stuff. So do you find that there's a lot of, seems to be a lot of strong female characters that you do find in Aussie fare for film?
Yeah.
Is that something that, you know, Ozflix wants to
shine
a light on?
I can't speak for the people behind the scenes, I guess. Yes, I think that would be great. And I know, I mean, there's some powerful women in the organising committee, and I'm sure that we'll do a bundle. So Ozflix do bundles. They release a new bundle every week, which is like five films. I'm sure we'll do some kind of strong female lead bundle. Although I don't know if there's particularly a large amount of strong female leads in Australian film. I don't know if we have that more so than other countries.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Is this controversial?
Mean,
I don't know.
Is it?
You should do one on directors, costume designers, production roles.
There is a lot of strong women there, and female directors, which is obviously underrepresented a lot of the time.
Yeah,
that would be the one to do, I think. If they did a female-led one, it would be, female directors. Would be.
And what are you up to? Like, you thrust this upon me, two refugees and a blonde. What is this about? Is this comedy?
It's
satire?
A comedy. It's a web series.
So we can all relax.
We can all relax. Yeah, it's a satire. Yeah. It was made with... I co-created it with two refugee artists as well. And two of the characters were developed by SBS for a show that never got off the air, got off the ground on the air. And so we took them and we thought, why not do a bit of a culture clash and talk in a very fun, silly way about inclusion. And, it's all a bit of fun. It's on YouTube.
Right.
Yeah.
And you worked with the Amnesty Refugee Network to put this together? So
when we launched, we worked a lot with them. Yeah, we at World Refugee Day, we did an event with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we launched Refugee Weeks.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a busy woman. I'm just looking at your bio here. It's just like there's way too much going on here. But one of the films that is going to be part of Ozflix, I think, is the one you mentioned to me off air.
Yes, Pretty Good Friends.
That's good. I'm glad you know the name.
Yes. It will be premiering on Ozflix. It's still in the process of coming up because they've got a backlog of lots of films that are all still going to be every week. Yeah. There'll be new films coming onto Ozflix because it takes a long time to put all of these.
To load them
all in there. It's a huge operation. There's an international. In fact, there's a Kiwi people working on that.
Well, they're typical.
Of course. They're doing all the hard work in the back, getting no credit for it.
That's about right. Yeah. So what's it about? What's this one about?
So it is about. It's kind of centres around a female friendship, but also a relationship with a man. So there's kind of a bit of a love triangle thing going on. Three 20-somethings in Melbourne, kind of finding who they are, finding where they're going, kind of mid-20s. My character, her best friend, comes back to live with me and my partner.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in a flat in St Kilda, and they kind of bond because they're both artist types, and my character's like studying medical science and whatever, marine science. Sorry, it's been a while since I've talked about this. And I leave, they develop a bit of a bond. My character comes back, and it's kind of that idea of the emotional affair. And when there's not actually anything physical that happens, what's the line? And which I find quite interesting because in my experience, I find that that's a lot more confronting than anything physical in some ways. If you can feel that there's a real love connection there, of course, that's a much bigger deal. But then how do you prove that, you know? So it's kind of deals with that. But inevitably, it kind of becomes about the female friendship. And that's kind of nice that it ends with that rather than becoming all about a romance between a man and a woman. It's actually about the two women, and it was directed by a woman, Sophie Townsend, was her first film.
Right.
Cool.
Go Sophie.
Yes.
Right. Yes. And look, it did very well. They made a Melbourne Film Fest.
Yes.
A couple of years ago.
Yes. Cool. One best feature film.
Melbourne Underground Film Festival, same year.
Yeah.
Gosh. Just cleaning up here.
Yeah.
Like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it's a good film. Be on Ozflix soon. And
And what happens for you next? Like, you know, do you find it's you have to put in more, you know, work and effort, do you think, being a woman and taking charge of your own career and things?
Yes. I mean, there is advantages and disadvantages. There's definitely some advantages now, obviously, being a woman if you're a creative. I've been writing and producing a bit in the last few years. Mm. And, of course, there's different funding streams available now if you are a woman in Australia. And then also I've been doing some things in LA, and there's more interest in some ways when you're a woman. But then also, of course, it's very difficult when you're dealing with boys' clubs and things like that, you know, and you're trying to break into those kind of environments, which isn't everywhere, but you definitely do see that. And as an actor, female actors, particularly Caucasian ones, there's the most competition of anything. And then, of course, it's very difficult for women who are minorities as well, even more so, I can't even imagine. So, yeah.
But the struggle goes on.
The struggle goes on. But you've got to do it. I mean, it's hard. Art is creating art and living as an artist and making a living out of it, if you can. Most people don't make a full-time living.
What is it, 2% or something?
Yeah, it's
terrible number, it's only nothing. Make a living.
And even people like, I mean, you've got, I don't know, I'm just remembering like Vince Colosimo when he was doing labouring on the side, and he's one of our most famous Aussie actors, you know.
That's crazy. Does he still do that? Does he still?
I'm not sure whether he's doing that now, but that wasn't like, he was at the prime of his, he'd done all this big stuff.
Crazy. Well, you know, it's good to have something up your sleeve, people. I think that's all somewhere.
Well, you've got to diversify. You know, I think that's the thing. You can't just be purely an actor or just.
You've got the advantage because you know how everybody has different skill sets now and are told to be flexible. Performers, actors have been doing it forever.
Yeah.
So, you know, you should be running things, really. You know how things go. The future is with you.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, something like that. We play all these different roles, so why not take them all on. Yeah.
Where can people go to find out more about you?
Well, I've got a website, rainfuller.com.
Cool.
And I should definitely mention ozflix.tv is where you can find out more about Ozflix.
Definitely. We'll put that stuff up on the Facebook page because we are moving on. It is 16 minutes to 10 and I am running a bit late to ring poor Kimber. She will be waiting. But in any case, thank you so much, Rainfuller.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on.
It's not over yet. Just beginning.
We're only just beginning. No, we are.
Something like that.
Since our fateful meeting that Friday night.
I know. Thanks, Ozflix. And thanks to Ron.
Yes. Ron Brown. Shout out to Ron. That's one of the most hardworking independent film producers and people of all time.
From the land of Oz.
Yes.
From the land down under. All right. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Feminism is just something that I feel has always been a part of my life, the way that I think and the way that I feel about the world. I recognise that we don't have equality, we aren't treated the same way as women. I think it's a terrible thing for all of us. I think it's a terrible thing for men and it's a terrible thing for women. And so divided by gender, the result of that, or maybe the cause of that, is oftentimes that we look down on women and that we see women as lesser or something other, something unusual. So feminism is an important part of the world to kind of recognise that we don't start out equally, that we have different kinds of privilege and different kinds of reasons that our lives work the way they do.
This is Broad on Joy 94.9. And now for the part of the show where we've got Broad Designs. One of these days I'll get a special tag for you, Jane.
Awesome.
We've got Jane Connery. Going to speak to Kimber Thompson, who we've got on the phone line from something called Sister Productions and other things. So I'll let you see how you go handle that.
Thanks, Sonia. Before I introduce our first guest, I want to thank Carol Wilson for offering to chat with us last week. Unfortunately, we couldn't get her on the line, but if the Women's March inspired you to make your own placards, you can now check out some of Carol's work and her other amazing political posters from the 70s and 80s at the Ian Potter Gallery in an exhibition called Don't Be Too Polite. And also, the State Library of Victoria are happy for you to submit your protest posters to their collection. You just have to visit the link on the Broad Facebook page. I think it'll be their most nasty collection ever.
Nasty? Yeah. Oh, right. Nasty woman.
Hashtag. So the weekend saw another Australia Day come and go, and I'm very aware of how short-sighted we can be about Australia Day, and I'm very sensitive to what this day represents to our Indigenous community. Ignorance really isn't an excuse not to learn more about the oldest living culture in history. So tonight my guest is Kimber Thompson, who heads up Sister Productions and Black Dot Gallery, as you mentioned, and she has 16 years of experience working on creative projects across cultures. So welcome, Kimber, are you there?
I am. Oh, yay. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I really appreciate you talking to us tonight. So Sister Productions does graphic design, film production and events. What's it like designing for and with the Indigenous community? Is it a little bit tricky?
Look, well, Sister Girl Productions. Yeah. And look, I've been working in this area for over 20 years. And, you know, for me, that was out of a need for the community. Back then, I was working in film. And in that particular time, it was a need for Indigenous people to have an Indigenous voice in the film industry. So, you know, through making film and moving into the community needs, which were videos and DVDs and stuff, you know, graphic design or graphics were, you know, part of that. And then we've just, like, moved into the graphics area again with another need for a community, you know, for culturally appropriate, you know, imagery.
And what's it like educating clients on how to use this imagery appropriately?
Oh, look, for most clients, the first one, and it's also in the arts industry too, you know, that, you know, all Aboriginal art is not dot, dot and cross hatching. You know, here in Victoria, we've got 36 language groups, and each of those language groups, in, you know, have particular designs to their areas. So when we talk about Australia, we've got 512 language groups and, you know, so many designs.
Yes,
crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it does. It takes work to really be aware of that and to incorporate that into your work. I don't know if you know, the Australian Indigenous Design Charter has just been launched by Dr. Megan Kelly and Dr. Russell Kennedy at Deakin University, and they've had a 10-point approach to, and which has been endorsed by the Council, International Council of Design, to help people do that. It lists things like deep listening and really understanding Indigenous knowledge. What other sort of things are appropriate to know before you get going on designs like that?
Well, for starters, myself in particular, I know there's ones that you're talking about, deep listening. We did do that with our RMIT when we were doing our Masters through there. But that's, you know, a way of, we are that deeper listening. So for me, working with communities in particular, it is about that consultation and, you know, working with them around particular, you know, designs and what their needs are. It's not like, let's go into a community and, hey, we've got something for you. I'm always consulting with the community. And if I'm working with clients such as communities or government bodies, councils and or education groups, I'm always, that my first question is, who is the audience? Is there a cultural advisory group to this? And then for me, that gives me, you know, relief at one point, because then I know I'm dealing with the community.
Yes.
That the community then will respond to the designs that we come up with, you know, based on the briefs that they have given us. Because, you know, every community is different. You could be doing one for, you know, they don't mean, you know, things and artworks don't mean the same in every area of Australia or even Victoria. So it's a really tricky one, even working with community. You know, working in today, where when I first started, you know, the thing to do back then was to take an Indigenous artwork, put that on a poster or a DL flyer or things like that. And, you know, it wasn't much design. It was really the poster. And, you know, for myself, working with community, saying, hey, we you know, and getting them out of that comfort zone, going, hey, we can design in a contemporary way with the same meanings, with the same thing, but we work with the artist, so they may engage the artist and then we'd work with the artist around their designs. Yeah, it's a complicated thing sometimes, but it's a great thing.
Yeah, the complicated thing is something that designers with no Indigenous descent really have to be prepared to engage in and to try harder when doing, rather than just taking sort of ignorant decisions with those dots and those crosshatches and appropriating those symbols for their own purposes, yeah?
Oh, for sure. You know, even myself, you know, we'll talk about it, but I did have a client, an interesting client. So, you know, when we work, I work here from Victoria, so even to take on a job interstate, sometimes I'll pass or I'll find another Indigenous company there that are more, that have more knowledge of that community or those designs or that area. But one I did work with was in the Northern Territory a couple of years ago. And for me, you know, that was really challenging because, you know, one, you're not from there, you're not familiar with all the artworks, and we know, you know, for myself, I know that, you know, symbols do mean different things for each groups. But then you've got the language as well. But we developed a series of, for community, they love playing cards. So we developed a series of play cards which were really about financial management.
Great.
And looking at how, you know, eat more, eat less, spend less. So the cards were kind of designed in a way that they were playing, but we'd have an English name and then we'd leave it open at the bottom for those communities to actually put the language name for each of those animal foods or, you know, things that were on these cards. But again, the consultation process with that, and also being here in Victoria, we had people on the ground there that were actually going to each of those communities with the drafts, what we had, and the design was fine because we, you know, we picked something that was neutral that those communities would identify with. They were more just worried about if they had their food on there, their bush tucker.
Yum.
You know, so, you know, we were like crocodiles, emu, dugong, you know, they just wanted to make sure that each of their community had their actual animals on there. But they actually were wanting to use them to play cards.
Yeah.
Which is great. It was around the education, around financial management. I mean, with that, we designed a whole lot of stuff, a calculator, a shopping list. So it was more about money management and stuff like that within the communities. And it was for the educators to go into the communities and help the communities with those financial managements. But, it, you know, our mob are visual.
Yes, yes.
Visual people.
Yeah. I think your whole service and your consultation service is really helping it Indigenous design get its voice and Indigenous women in design getting a voice too, which is what our show is all about. But thank you very much for speaking with us tonight, Kimba. I appreciate everything you've got to say. You can see, visit Black Dot Gallery in 2017 during midsummer, and there's a show called Transational on until February 5th. Is that right?
It is.
In Brunswick. The exhibition elevates the voices of queer and trans people, Indigenous, to here and elsewhere through a celebration of visual arts. So thank you again, Kimba, and thank you, Sonia.
Thanks. Thanks, Kimba. It's great to meet you.
Thank you.
All right. Cheers. Thanks for coming on. On to Broad. Thank you. Thanks, Jane. It was nice to talk to Kimba. She sounds amazing. Like, lots of stuff happening there, and that's really good.
Yes.
We'll have to put the website up and stuff on the Facebook page for Broad.
Thanks.
And that's the show, pretty much, everybody. So I want to thank all the fabulous people that came in the studio tonight, including Tash, Natasha Janelle. I've put up on the Facebook already how you can find out more about Autobio Queen, which is going to be on at midsummer, starts the 1st of Feb. We have Rain Fuller, of course, still here in the studio. And to thank her, do I put her mic on? Yes, I do.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Yeah, thanks. And good luck with everything. There's a lot of things are happening for you.
Thanks.
Busy year.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Cool.
Nuts.
And Jane, thanks again.
My pleasure.
And Kimber, thanks so much as well. Congratulations also come through on the news. Sarah Paulson won a Screen Awards for her performance in The People versus O.J. Simpson. So she made a really interesting statement at the SAG Awards tonight, and it was, I just wanted to have an opportunity to mention the inclusivity that I think is required right now, and the ACLU, who we mentioned earlier in the show, to her represents that across the, I was going to say broad, but board. It's an odd thing because she says it's been a very celebratory time in her life. At the same time, it's dovetailing with a sort of interesting time and definitely an intense time. So she feels that duality, and it's time to donate. So we'll put up that as well. You can donate to the Law Society there in the US to help people who are suffering and unfortunately being detained because of the fascism in the US right now. Now, we had a message too before I do go, and we've got Beck, Bite Me Down Under. I'll read out this message. It says, "It's great that you acknowledge the traditional owners of the land and wish to educate your listeners on the political correctness of our Indigenous communities. However, if you're wanting to be taken seriously, can you also recognise that we're not living in the USA and our currency does not contain bills? The correct political terminology would have been dollar notes." That's okay. You know, well, you know, we're a global community after all. And I guess, yeah.
They're dollar coins now anyway.
Dollar coins now, aren't they? Yeah. So no more bills, no more notes.
Nah.
Just coinage, people. Ooh. So send your gold coinage electronically to the ACLU or to support, you know, performers and artists like the ones we had on tonight. Thank you very much. Thanks for your messages. You can always send those through 0427JOY949 or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to Broad here on Joy. Good night.
I have such admiration for Black Lives Matter. Diaz Eliza Garza, she's one of the founders of Black Lives Matter. I mean, this is a movement that started by two queer women of color that has, like, shaken the political establishment of America, that has forced, like, presidential candidates, forced the president to address it, that has deeply challenged, you know, really many institutions of white supremacy there, and that spread around the world. Yeah, I have such admiration. When Ferguson first happened, I have to admit, I was looking at it and I was like, man, it felt like Occupy was children's dress rehearsal compared to what people are doing here and what people are risking here.
feminism, and does that play a part in what you do?
I mean, obviously I'm a feminist. I tend to subscribe to the Gloria Steinem definition, which is that it's the revolutionary idea that women are equal human beings. How that plays out with my relationship to other people who identify as feminists, that's a different thing, of course. You know, there's a huge amount of disagreement and debate. But for me, my feminism comes from the belief that no one should be restricted, no one should be marginalized, no one should be trivialized, no one should be made simple, no one should be locked in a cage or even put up on a pedestal because they're a woman, because we're humans, and humans have the right to equality and freedom, and also humans exhibit the full diversity, good and bad, of characteristics, men and women. And I would say that you should never let anyone, not a lover, not a husband, not a parent, not a sibling, you should never let anyone steal from you the sense of your own value and your own dignity. And I should also say that the most valuable thing we have, one of them, is a community that loves us and that nourishes us and that has our back.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Molly Crabapple, and you are listening to Broad on Joy
94.9. Zero options.
Thank you, sisters. You've been listening to this Broad podcast here on Joy 94.9. Don't forget to tune in to us Monday nights at 9 p.m. on Joy for feminism in your ears.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.